Albert Einstein said, your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you have made the powerful decision to be on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along with us shortly. But for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, United Kingdom.
I heard Larry and Wendy, and I heard Billy from Philly. Good morning.
You got it, love.
Hello from Arkansas.
Hello, Elliot. How are things in Arkansas?
Oh, just wonderful. I'm having a great day.
We're glad you're here, my friend.
Good morning, Mahara.
Good morning.
This is Terrence in Corinth, Texas.
Hi, Terrence. Top of the morning to you, sir.
Top of the morning to you, ma'am.
Happy and wonderful week.
Erica, Chicago.
Hi, Erica.
Happy
in
wonderful
Chicago.
Wednesday.
Welcome to the call.
Monday, Tuesday.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Adele from Long Island, New York.
Hi, Adele. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you, sweetie. Glad to be here.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Chanel in California.
Hi, Chanel. It's great to hear your voice this morning.
Good morning,
Mahara.
It's Tony from Pennsylvania.
Tony, what's up, my friend?
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Agvo. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Anthony Williams in beautiful, clear water, Florida. How are you feeling this morning? Let's get excited.
Anthony Williams, I am so excited. We're so glad you're with us.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mahara.
Florida.
Good morning in Florida. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, Mahara.
Rock and roll in Albuquerque.
This is Shirley Rocks. What's happening?
Hey, ready to rock.
We're ready to rock, too.
Good morning, Mahara. Manuel from Dallas.
Hey, Manuel. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, my friend.
Morning, Mahara. This is Jacksonville.
Andre, good morning, and welcome to the call. I loved your comment on Facebook. Who else is that stepping out?
Good morning, Berenice in Florida.
Hello, Berenice, how are you?
Great, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and we're so glad you're with us.
Good morning, Tara. Bill Wynn,
Rochester. Hey, Bill Wynn in Rochester, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tara. Veronica Taylor, Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Veronica Taylor, welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, good morning.
How are you getting a lot of feedback on my end, honey?
You guys press star 6 after you say your names.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry Coates, Boston.
Hey, Larry Coates. We welcome you to the mastermind. Glad you're here.
Morning, Paul.
Michael Lynn in Minnesota. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael Lynn. Great to hear from you.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Jason Robinson, St. Pete.
Hey, Jason. What's up?
Kimberly.
Good morning, Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hello, Kimberly Skinner. Hello, Elizabeth in Virginia. Welcome to the call.
Hey, today is Paul Kenton.
Who is that?
Today is Paul Kenton anniversary.
Coolness.
Good morning, my LS Kevin, Mr. eBay Johnson in South Carolina.
Hey, Kevin, welcome to the mastermind. We're glad you're here.
Thank
you. Good morning, Sarah. It's Vera from California.
Hi, Vera. Welcome to the call. Focused, powerful entrepreneurs. Who else is stepping out on the mastermind?
Good morning, Mahara. It's Charity from New York.
Hi, Charity. Welcome. Business today.
ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Happy day. It is Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. Another great day to be live. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from my home office here in beautiful Southeast Idaho. Super, super, super. Yes, I said three supers. Super Duper Stan's going to love that. Super excited to be on the line today with each of you, my friends. I'm so excited that you made the decision to dial into this call. Why? Because we, my friends, as a community, as a family, as practitioners of the Think and Grow Rich philosophy, as students of success. And I love the fact that we, everyone on this call, the fact that you're on this call means that you are not even just a student of success, but a serious student of success. I remember Jim Rohn, I'll never forget, listening to him talk about how if you want to be successful, he said, you should probably study success. He says, you probably make success a study. And then he goes on to say, guess how many people make success a serious study? And he said, not very many. And I remember listening to that, and I remember making an internal decision inside where, you know, I just said to myself, not me. No, I'm not going to be one of those people who is in the very many that is not a student. I'm going to be one of the not very many. I'm going to be one of the few who makes a decision to make success, who makes life a serious study so that I can get the biggest return on this investment of life, right? And friends, I'm excited that you're here because you've also made that decision. You're here, and that means you've made that decision. Jim Rohn, I think, would be proud of all of us. I think he'd be so proud to look down from wherever he's at and see that on this call we've got hundreds of people who dial into a conference line every morning, Monday through Friday, have done now for almost 5 years. Coming up in June this year, it'll be 5 years that we get on this call as diligent students of success, following his advice and also following the counsel of Dr. Napoleon Hill and continuing to study this stuff. I think that is unique. I think that is remarkable. I think you are remarkable for being a part of this community. And you know what? We are having an effect. I tell you, we're having an effect. As a matter of fact, I want to share something with you guys real quick. A message I got yesterday, after yesterday's call, from one of our Thinking Rich family members, and I'm not going to mention the name because I did not ask his permission if I could share this, so I'm going to call him John. But this is a Thinking Rich family member, someone who listens to our call daily, and he had a huge win. Kind of looks like, you know, if you don't know what to look for, it could look like a little win on the surface. I'm telling you, this is a huge win. This is what John wrote. He said, what's good, Paul? Hey, I just wanted to thank you and the fam on the call today. This isn't a business related story, but I think it's related to what we've been learning about recently. You mentioned internal shifts in this email, and I thought something that happened to me this morning was a cool example of what we've been studying. We've been studying leadership and initiative, and one of the qualities mentioned was integrity. This morning I woke up a little late for work. I have a pretty cush job. My boss doesn't breathe down my neck or anything. I get to pretty much do my own thing. It's kind of common for myself and coworkers to stroll in 10, 15, 20 minutes late for a shift and just punch in normal hours on our timesheet. Usually no one is checking to see what time we came in. So this morning as I was getting dressed, I was typing a usual email to my manager to let her know that I was at my cubicle, even though I was running late, and I know she would never know the difference. Then I had a thought, and the call came to mind, and I thought to myself, quote, is this the kind of example of leadership and integrity that I want to set for myself? ? It was the first time that I had given a second thought to what I was doing. I thought about it for a few minutes and finally thought, F this. I'm going to be honest and let her know I'm running late, even though I'll lose an hour of my pay for being late because I don't get paid unless I'm on the clock. It's funny. I felt better for it on my way to work, too. Usually when I'm running late, I'm in a bad mood, rushing and probably impolite to other people. But today, I was calm, collected, and just glad I was able to use some of the things I'm learning on the call with the family because I know it's making me grow. Long story short, I just wanted to give you and everybody on the call a huge thanks for being examples of leadership and integrity for me and others like me who need not only to hear it, but to see it in action to get it sometimes. Laugh out loud. Thanks, bro. John. Wow, guys, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? I love, love, love that story. You know, Charles Hanel writes in the Master Key System that the outer world is created by the inner world. The inner world creates the outer world. And I believe that decisions like John made, I believe they matter. You know, Napoleon Hill was a huge student of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and particularly there's an essay called Compensation, where in that essay, Ralph Waldo Emerson writes something to the effect of, "The thief steals from himself." And that essay goes on to explain how everything we do has a cause, is a cause and has an effect. Every thought we think, every action we take seems to be a seed planted in the infiniteness of the universe that will germinate and grow. And so when John made this internal decision yesterday to do what he perceived to be the right thing, to be honest, to have integrity, I believe that's a seed that can grow into something so big none of us can probably even imagine. And you know what? He already started to see the fruits yesterday, didn't he? He talked about how he felt on the way to work, how he just felt better. He felt better about himself. He felt better about his character. He felt better about his integrity. That's an effect that's powerful, right? I remember Jim Rohn talking about shutting the lights off in a hotel room when he leaves, and he talked about, why would you do that? Right, to conserve energy. So why would you do that? No one's around. Nobody's going to see. The maid's going to come in and probably shut the lights off when you leave. So, man, it's probably not a big deal. You know what Jim Rohn said, though? He said, it's a big deal for me to do that. When I shut the lights off and nobody else is looking, when I pick up a little piece of trash and nobody else is looking, he says, I'm making deposits into my own character, into my own integrity, into my own self-confidence. You know, law of success number two that we're learning on this call is self-confidence. Do we ever stop to think about these little things that we can do that are like deposits into our self-confidence? Pretty amazing stuff. So I just wanted to share that. I wanted to say, John, I know that's not your real name. Man, I'm proud of you. I know the Think and Grow Rich family's proud of you. And I believe that maybe, just maybe, as we all continue to listen intently to the words that are going to come through the line today from Dr. Napoleon Hill and also the other Think and Grow Rich family members, maybe, just maybe, it's possible for each one of us to have an internal shift today, like John. And maybe it might not be the same shift, probably won't, but we can have a shift today that could possibly go on and make all the difference in how our day works out today, how our week works out this week, how our month works out, and maybe, just maybe, my friends, how our life works out. So if you're excited about having an internal shift, if you're excited about hearing stories like John's doing and, you know, following, hearing stories of lessons that John's learning and applying in his lives and other Think and Grow Rich family members, I want to hear you screaming to the line on this amazing Wednesday as I unmute the phones right now. You guys are awesome. You know, another thing Jim Rohn said is he said, everything affects everything else. So that's just another little thought to keep in mind, you know, in relation to John's story. So, guys, star six, who's got the definite purpose self-confidence formula ready for us this morning? If you've got that star six and pop on out, we'd surely appreciate you leading us through that today.
Larry's here.
Larry, I love you, man. Thank you so much for always being ready to do this. Go ahead and take it away.
My major definite purpose, by the first day of, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I'm capable of rendering, the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing a love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud at least once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become an even more self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
Amen, Larry. I love you, man, and I believe in you. And hey, my friends, if you guys believe in Larry, I'm going to unmute the lines. Let's let him know real quick. Just one second.
Thank you, Larry.
You hear that, Larry? They all believe in you, my friend. All right, hey, guys, let's get to work. We've got a lot of content to cover in this chapter on imagination. I was just kind of scanning ahead, and so let's jump straight into this. We're on page 447 of 1170 in the ebook copy, which you can grab on our website if you're new to the call at growrichaudios.com. We are on page 29 of the Law on Imagination, starting where he writes in the City of Chicago. Dr. Hill writes, in the City of Chicago, the level of a certain boulevard was raised, which spoiled a row of beautiful residences because the sidewalk was raised to the level of the second-story windows. While the property owners were bemoaning their ill fortune, a man of imagination came along, purchased the property for a song, converted the second stories into business property, and now enjoys a handsome income from his rentals. As you read these lines, please keep in mind all that was stated in the beginning of this lesson, especially the fact that the greatest and most profitable thing you can do with your imagination is the act of rearranging old ideas into new combinations. If you properly use your imagination, it will help you convert your failures and mistakes into assets of priceless value. It will lead you to discover the discovery of a truth known only to those who use their imagination, namely, that the greatest reverses and misfortunes of life often open the door to golden opportunities. One of the finest and most highly paid engravers in the United States was formerly a mail carrier. One day he was fortunate enough to be on a streetcar that met with an accident and had one of his legs cut off. The street railway company paid him $5 million for his leg. With this money, he paid his way through school and became an engraver. The product of his hands, plus his imagination, is worth much more than he could earn with his legs as a mail carrier. He discovered that he had imagination when it became necessary to redirect his efforts as a result of the streetcar accident. You'll never know what is your capacity for achievement until you learn how to mix your efforts with imagination. The product of your hands minus imagination will yield you but a small return, but those self-same hands, when properly guided by imagination, can be made to earn you all the material wealth you can use. There are two ways in which you can profit by imagination. You can develop this faculty in your own mind, or you can ally yourself with those who have already developed it. Andrew Carnegie did both. He not only made use of his own fertile imagination, but he gathered around him a group of other men who also possessed this essential quality for his definite purpose in life and called for specialists whose imagination ran in numerous directions. And that group of men that constituted Mr. Carnegie's mastermind were men whose imaginations were confined to the field of chemistry. He had other men in the group whose imaginations were confined to finances. He had still others whose imaginations were confined to salesmanship, one of whom was Charles M. Schwab, who is said to have been the most able salesman on Mr. Carnegie's staff. If you feel that your own imagination is inadequate, you should form an alliance with someone whose imagination is sufficiently developed to supply your deficiency. There are various forms of alliance. For example, there is the alliance of marriage and the alliance of a business partnership and the alliance of friendship and the alliance of former employer and employee. Not all men have the capacity to serve their own best interest as employers, and those who haven't this capacity may profit by allying themselves with men of imagination who have such capacity. It is said that Mr. Carnegie made more millionaires of his employees than any other employer in the steel business. Among these was Charles M. Schwab, who displayed evidence of the soundest sort of imagination by his good judgment in allying himself with Mr. Carnegie. It is no disgrace to serve in the capacity of an employee. To the contrary, it often proves to be the most profitable side of an alliance, since not all people are fitted to assume the responsibility of directing other people. Perhaps there is no field of endeavor in which imagination plays such an important part as it does in salesmanship. The master salesman sees the merits of the good he sells or the service he is rendering in his own imagination, and if he fails to do so, he will not make the sale. A few years ago, a sale was made which is said to have been the most far-reaching and important sale of its kind ever made. The object of the sale was not merchandise, but the freedom of a man who was confined in the Ohio penitentiary and the development of a prison reform system that promises a sweeping change in the method of dealing with unfortunate men and women who have become entangled in the meshes of the law. That you may observe just how imagination plays the leading part in salesmanship, I will analyze this sale for you, with due apologies for personal references, which cannot be avoided without destroying much of the value of the illustration. A few years ago, I was invited to speak before the inmates of the Ohio Penitentiary. When I stepped up upon the platform, I saw in the audience before me a man whom I had known as a successful businessman more than 10 years previously. That man was Mr. B, whose pardon I later secured, and the story of whose release has been spread upon the front page of practically every newspaper in the United States. Perhaps you will recall it. After I had completed my address, I interviewed Mr. B and found out that he had been sentenced for forgery for a period of 20 years. After he had told me his story, I said, "I will have you out of here in less than 60 days." With a forced smile, he replied, "I admire your spirit, but question your judgment. Why, do you know that at least 20 influential men have tried every means at their command to get me released without success? It can't be done. I suppose it was that last remark, it can't be done, that challenged me to show him that it could be done. I returned to New York City and requested my wife to pack her trunks and get ready for an indefinite stay in the city of Columbus, where the Ohio Penitentiary is located. I had a definite purpose in mind. That purpose was to get Mr. B out of the Ohio Penitentiary. Not only did I have in mind securing his release, but I intended to do it in such a way that his release would erase from his breast the scarlet letter of convict, and at the same time reflect credit upon all who helped to bring about his release. Not once did I doubt that I would bring about his release, for no salesman can make a sale if he doubts that he can do it. My wife and I returned to Columbus and took up permanent headquarters. The next day, I called on the governor of Ohio and stated the object of my visit in about these words. Governor, I have come to ask you to release Mr. B from the Ohio Penitentiary. I have sound reason for asking his release, and I hope you will give him his freedom at once. But I have come prepared to stay until he is released, no matter how long that may be. During his imprisonment, Mr. B has inaugurated a system of correspondence instruction in the Ohio Penitentiary, as you of course know. He has influenced 1,729 of the 2,518 prisoners of the Ohio Penitentiary to take up courses of instruction. He has managed to beg sufficient textbooks and lesson materials with which to keep these men at work on their lessons, and has done this without a penny of expense to the state of Ohio. The warden and his chaplain of the penitentiary tell me that he has carefully observed the prison rules. Surely a man who can influence 1,729 men to turn their efforts towards self-betterment cannot be a very, very bad sort of fellow. I have come to ask you to release Mr. B because I wish to place him at the head of a prison school that will give the 160,000 inmates of the other penitentiaries of the United States a chance to profit by his influence. I am prepared to assume full responsibility for his conduct after his release. And I'm going to back up. There's a quote here on the preceding page I don't want to skip. He writes, "If you have been wise and successful, I congratulate you. Unless you are unable to forget how successful you have been, then I pity you." All right, continue on. "That is my case, but before you give me your answer, I want you to know that I am not unmindful of the fact that your enemies will probably criticize you if you release him. In fact, if you release him, it may cost you many votes if you run for office again." With his fist clenched and his broad jaw set firmly, Governor Vic Donahue of Ohio said, "If that is what you want with Mr. B, I will release him if it costs me 5,000 votes. However, before I sign the pardon, I want you to see the clemency board and secure its favorable recommendation. I want you also to secure the favorable recommendation of the warden and the chaplain of the Ohio Penitentiary. You know a governor is amenable to the court of public opinion, and these gentlemen are the representatives of that court." The sale had been made, and the whole transaction had required less than 5 minutes. The next day, I returned to the governor's office, accompanied by the chaplain of the Ohio Penitentiary, and notified the governor that the clemency board, the warden, and the chaplain all joined in recommending the release. 3 days later, the pardon was signed, and B walked through the big iron gates of free man. I have cited the details to show you that there was nothing difficult about the transaction. The groundwork for the release had all been prepared before I came upon the scene. B had done that by his good conduct and the service he had rendered those 1,729 prisoners. When he created the world's first prison correspondence school system, he created the key that unlocked the prison doors for himself. Why, then, had the others who asked for his release failed to secure it? They failed because they used no imagination. Perhaps they asked the governor for B's release on the ground that his parents were prominent people, or on the ground that he was a college graduate and not a bad sort of fellow. They failed to supply the governor of Ohio with a sufficient motive to justify him in granting a pardon. For had this not been so, he would undoubtedly have released me long before I came upon the scene and asked for his release. Before I went to see the governor, I went over all the facts, and in my own imagination, I saw myself in the governor's place and made up my mind what sort of a presentation would appeal most strongly to me if I were in reality in his place. When I asked for B's release, I did so in the name of the 160,000 unfortunate men and women, inmates of the prisons of the United States, who would enjoy the benefits of the correspondence school system that he had created. I said nothing about his prominent parents. I said nothing about my friendship with him during former years. I said nothing about his being a deserving fellow. All these matters might have been used as sound reasons for his release, but they seemed insignificant when compared with the bigger and sounder reason that his release would be of help to 160,000 other people who would feel the influence of his correspondence school system after his release. When the governor of Ohio came to a decision, I doubt not that B was of secondary importance as far as his decision was concerned. The governor, no doubt, saw possible benefit not to B alone, but to 160,000 other men and women who needed the influence that B could supply if released. And that was imagination. It was also salesmanship. And speaking of the incident, after it was over, one of the men who had worked diligently for more than a year in trying to secure B's freedom asked, "How did you do it?" And I replied, "It was the easiest task." Dr. Hill makes me laugh here. Hold on. Okay. And I replied, "It was the easiest task I ever performed because most of the work had been done before I took hold of it. In fact, I didn't do it. B did it himself." This man looked at me in bewilderment. He did not see that which I am here trying to make clear, namely that practically all difficult tasks are easily performed if one approaches them from the right angle. There were two important factors entering B's release. The first was the fact that he had supplied the material for a good case before I took it in charge. And the second was the fact that before I called on the governor of Ohio, I so completely convinced myself that I had a right to ask for B's release that I had no difficulty in presenting my case effectively. Go back to in the beginning of this lesson on the subject of telepathy and apply it to this case. The governor could tell long before I had stated my mission that I knew I had a good case. If my brain did not telegraph this thought to his brain, then the look of self-confidence in my eyes and the positive tone of my voice made obvious my belief in the merits of my case. Again, I apologize for these personal references with the explanation that I have used them only because the whole of America was familiar with the B case that I have described. I disclaim all credit for the small part I played in the case, for I did nothing except use my imagination as an assembly room in which to piece together the factors out of which the sale was made. I did nothing except that which any salesman of imagination could have done. It requires considerable courage to prompt one to use the personal pronoun as freely as it has been used in relating the facts connected with this case. But justification lies in the value of application of the principle of imagination to a case with which nearly everybody is familiar. I cannot recall an incident in my entire life in connection with which the soundness of the 15 factors that enter into this reading course was more clearly manifested than it was in securing the release is of B. It is but another link in a long chain of evidence that proves to my entire satisfaction the power of imagination as a factor in salesmanship. There are endless millions of approaches to every problem, but there is only one best approach. Find this one best approach, and your problem is easily solved. No matter how much merit your goods may have, there are millions of wrong ways in which to offer them. Your imagination will assist you in finding the right way. In your search for the right way in which to offer your particular your merchandise or your services, remember this peculiar trait of mankind. Men will grant favors that you request for the benefit of a third person when they would not grant them if requested for your benefit. Compare this statement with the fact that I asked the governor of Ohio to release B, not as a favor to me and not as a favor to B, but for the benefit of 160,000 unfortunate inmates of the prisons of America. Salesmen of imagination always offer their wares in such terminology that the advantages of those wares to the prospective purchaser are obvious. It is seldom that any man makes a purchase of merchandise or renders another a favor just to accommodate the salesman. It is a prominent trait of human nature that prompts us all to do that which advances our own interests. This is a cold, indisputable fact. Claims of the idealist to the contrary are notwithstanding. To be perfectly plain, men are selfish. To understand the truth is to understand how to present your case. Whether you are asking for the release of a man from prison or offering for sale some commodity. In your own imagination, so plan your presentation of your case that the strongest and most impelling advantages to the buyer are made plain. This is imagination. And there's another quote here. I'll finish out with this quote. I never see a person trying to disclose the scarlet letter on another's breast that I do not wonder if he doesn't carry some mark of disgrace which would have ruined him had he been overtaken by justice. And friends, I think that's a great place for us to pause. Wow, so many lessons in this story that we just read. Oh my gosh, it's just like it's beaming and overflowing with different lessons and insights that we can take away and apply into our lives. And I'm super excited to hear what you've pulled from the story. I want to throw out just a couple little insights that stuck out to me. One, I love Dr. Napoleon Hill's humility. I love how not just once, not just twice, but three times he apologized for mentioning his own name in relation to the story. He was a humble guy, right? He did amazing things. He impacted the world in millions of people, literally, and he was a humble guy. And there was also this quote here, back here a few pages, that further illustrates this point. He said, "If you have been wise and successful, I congratulate you. Unless you are unable to forget how successful you have been, then I pity you." I think that's just a neat thing. I think it's a neat lesson. I think it's a neat reminder that no matter what we do in the world, right, we want to go forth and we want to do great things. We want to do amazing things. We want to impact the world in big ways, and we are impacting the world in big ways. No matter how much we do, I think it's wise to always remember, like Dr. Hill writes in Grow Rich with Peace of Mind, he said, "Your splash in the world will never be bigger than the world itself," right? And just remember that. Remember where we came from, and remember, you know, that people are working on getting to great places too. And just keep that humility. I really like that. And then the other thing that I love about this story is his commitment and illustration of how determined he was to make the sale, right? To make the sale. He packed up his bags. He told his wife, he said, "Pack your bags. We're moving to Ohio, and we're not coming back until Mr. B is released." I mean, that's commitment, right? It sort of reminded me back in the early days when I first started marketing my business on the internet, and I was phone prospecting. I was actually selling this liquid vitamin product that I was excited about, right? As we must be. We must be excited about everything that we're selling. That's rule number one. We got to be excited about it. We got to believe in it. We got to know it's going to be a benefit to the other person. But I remember getting on the phone with people, and I would find out if they were open, right? I would connect a little bit, and I would follow the advice that Dr. Hill gave in the last part of the story, where he said people are selfish. What does that mean? It just means that people are concerned about what's important to them. They're concerned about their goals, their dreams, their hopes, their wishes, their families, their bills they got to pay. That's what's on their mind, right? And so whenever we connect with somebody, if we can just remember that, right, it's not about us. It's not about our product. It's not about our compensation plan. It's not about our company. It's about what maybe our company, our product, or compensation plan can do for the other person. And we won't know that until we take the time to find out, especially if we're Facebook chatting or talking to someone on the phone. It is all about the other person, right? Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that makes this major point. Whenever you're in a conversation, it's never about you. It's always about the other person. It's such a huge lesson, right? Because as Dr. Hill said, men are selfish. So what I would do is I would get on the phone with somebody, and I would get to know them. I would find out about them and their family and, you know, what's important to them, what are their goals, what do they want to achieve in life. And after you invest some time, or after I would invest some time finding out about them so that I knew what was important to them and there was also a feeling of affinity or familiarity or friendship, right? Because that's the other thing that I would do is as they're telling me stuff about them, I would find points of commonality. Like they would tell me they have kids and be like, oh, you've got kids? I've got kids too. Isn't it the greatest? And they would be like, yeah, it is. And, you know, like, oh, this Paul guy, he's got kids. So there's this feeling of affinity. There's this feeling of trust when you do it sincerely. And then I would get to the point where I would say, listen, I know you told me that you would love to develop a, you know, $3,000 a month pipeline income. If I could show you a way where that might be possible, would you be open to taking a look at a video? And they would be like, yeah. And then what I would do is I would send them the link, and I would stay on the phone while they were watching the video. I don't do this anymore, but I did this like back in the beginning, and it just reminded me of commitment and how Dr. Napoleon Hill said, I'm going to Ohio. I'm going to get it done no matter what. I just remembered staying on the phone with people while they watched the video so that when the video was over, I could be right there, right when they were, you know, hot, so to speak, right after they watched the video, and I could collect a decision. So those are just a couple examples of some of the ways that, you know, I've used some of these principles that Dr. Hill shared with me in my personal business. And there's more. There's more we can discover. So many lessons here. And I'm excited to hear what lessons you pulled out. So let's jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are a part of our call. And brevity and relevance, always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please.
Okay, so I'll go ahead.
Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Victoria Fashern.
Hey, welcome back, Victoria Fashern. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Powerful Paul. It is awesome. I'm so glad that I located your number and he gave it back to me. So, this energy that flows through this phone line, it is incredible. It's focused, it's dynamic, and it's absolutely brilliant. So the imagination, my whole life, I have imagined myself being a professional, imagined myself being an author, and it just happened. It happened through work, and it happened incidental, which a lot of our things happen. So recently an opportunity came where I had to use my imagination. I don't like using the word competition, but, I was a little irritated, but I was highly motivated. So I decided to cut my prices more than half and put up a sign and put it on my website and here and there. And everybody just loved it. But it destination. It came out of a point where you got to do this.
Did we lose you? You still there? We may have lost for Sharon. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Maybe we lost me. Let me check the line. Nope, I'm still here. Star 6,
there,
come on out. Great thought. Hey, who's that? Who was that that just jumped out?
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're there.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Larry. Did you have a comment, or you just
no,
let
no,
me
I
know
just,
I'm still here?
No, yeah, I just want to let you know, because you were asking.
Cool. Appreciate that. Come on out, folks. Any other lessons you saw in here, experiences that you've had, would love to hear. Come on out.
Oh,
hey,
Tyler's
here. I'll come out.
Oh, I heard a bunch of people. Let's see. Someone in, I heard Kimberly and also someone in Florida. So let's go Kimberly first and then the second lady.
Well, we may both be in Florida, but I am definitely in Florida. And good morning to my wonderful Think and Grow Rich family, and happy anniversary to you, Paul. Such a special, special day. And so much of the inspiration and power that comes to this call, I do believe, stems originally from the fact that you have an outstanding family headed up by an outstanding guy with an outstanding wife. I was thinking about Dr. Napoleon Hill and how he simply says to his wife, come on, we're going to Ohio. Apparently, happily, joyfully went along. And, you know, I've been the wife of a visionary man, so I totally get what that is like. And sometimes it's really exciting, and you never know what kind of adventures you're off on. But that's, you know, that's a good thing about being entrepreneurial spirits and having the capacity to do some things that other people might not have a chance to do. So best wishes to you, and thank you for all of the wonderful spirit that you and your lovely wife bring to us in this call. I was also thinking of something that Anthony Robbins taught me many moons ago. He was talking about so many people come to coaching sessions saying, you know, they don't have the ability to visualize. It's difficult for them to be imaginative and think of things that aren't present already in their current reality, or to overcome problems or obstacles that they face. And so he will ask them, well, if you could think of a solution to that problem, what would that be? And I actually use that with myself a lot, you know. I don't know the answer to this, but if I did have an answer to it, what would it be? It's kind of a powerful question that gets my mind thinking along terms that I wouldn't otherwise be thinking of. And it's really, really helpful when we're developing characteristics in our team members that they don't realize that they possess deep inside already. I mean, these things are already there. They're just sort of muscles that might be a little bit atrophied from disuse or whatever. So it came up for me in the reading, and I thought I'd share that.
Awesome. Thank you, Kimberly. Appreciate the kind comments and awesome stuff you shared, my friend. Who is the second lady there in Florida also with Kimberly? At least I thought there was a lady from Florida. Who is that second lady coming out? Come on out. We'd love to hear you this morning.
Yes, cut off.
Yeah, hey, who's that?
Victoria's for sure, and I got cut off. It was only like 30 seconds. Well, I was just saying. Yeah, life opportunities. If you keep your eyes open and your ears tuned, you know, you can turn any situation into an opportunity, and it will increase the other part on Napoleon Hill. It will increase the opportunity. It'll increase other opportunities for more people. You will create more employment by benefiting yourself. You're therefore increasing more employment for other people. So I hope it helps, and have a great day, Think and Grow Rich family. Goodbye for now.
Awesome. Thanks for coming back. Great thoughts.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Paul. It's Amy and Vic.
All right, we got Larry and then Amy.
Yeah, so I was thinking, I wanted to share this yesterday, but we ran out of time. You know, as we think about this whole chapter on imagination, I can't help but think about somebody whose imagination went bananas at full steroids, and that was Walt Disney. Walt developed a whole world of imagination, and in the process, he became a billionaire. And, you know, it's just a good example of how you can live outside, think outside of the box, and how you can take and apply your imagination to affect the lives of literally millions of people worldwide in a positive way. I don't think there's anybody that goes into Disneyland and comes out feeling, you know, like, oh, that was a really bad experience. I would never want to do that again. They all come away with, that was the greatest time. They sign up this year for next year's trip to Disney World or to the take a cruise or whatever, and it's all because one man had huge imagination. So just a great positive example for us, maybe a bit more from our own period of our own time period within our lives. And I thought that should be shared. Back to you, Paul.
For sure. Amazing, mind-blowing example, Larry. Thank you for that. Amy in Vegas, what's up?
Hey, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Family. I just wanted to point out about the gentleman, John, that you were talking about this morning, and just, you know, kudos to him, because I just think that's what this is all about, you know, just in our daily life when we can apply this stuff, and it really does make a difference. And so I just wanted to say, you know, congratulations to him. I know that I've been in a similar situation. I was at Whole Foods one day, and I was picking up some wild dried blueberries. I might have told you this story before, Paul. But I was picking up these blueberries, and, you know, I don't always pay attention to the price when I walk in somewhere. If I know I need something, I just go and I get it. So I went to the bulk section, and I went to grab these blueberries, and I just happened to look down and see the price, and they were like over $20 a pound. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, I'm just baking this little, you know, cake, and over $20 a pound for these blueberries. And I thought, you know, these currants over here next to the blueberries are cheaper, and I could just as easily put the number for this on here and not have to pay that 20 something a pound. But instead of doing that, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to do that, because it's not the right thing to do, one, but also I just had to be grateful that I had the money that I could buy those blueberries, you know, afford to buy them anyway. So anyway, and another thing I want to say, one of my favorite quotes is how you do anything is how you do everything. And that's by T. Harv Eker. And I think that just goes along with what I'm talking about here. So that's my share for today. I love you guys. Have a great day.
Awesome, Amy. You're such a great example.
In Dallas.
Thank you.
Patrice in Dallas.
Patrice. Yeah, Patrice, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I really appreciated appreciated what he shared about the gentleman and the things that he does when he's alone. And actually, I said, oh, my goodness, I'm glad that somebody else thinks that way. I know in the organization that I'm attached to, I'm talking about WorkWise, many times, you know, you go into the ladies' room and people just leave paper thrown all over the place. It's like, okay, who's going to pick it up? And I always try to, whether I threw it down, whether it's mine or not, I always try to pick up the paper and put it in the proper receptacle, and nobody's there. And I know that people would wonder, well, why would you do something like that? And just as he said, it's not about other people. It's about you as a person, you, your value, your whatever it is that makes you you, that makes character. And I try to practice that with everything I do. And I'm not saying this to boast or brag. This is just something that I'm sharing, because now this person's come out and said that they do the same thing. It's really heartwarming to me that there are people out there that recognize that every little thing that they do matters, even if people don't see it. Whether it's good or bad, it does matter. We all have to take social responsibility and moral responsibility for ourselves, And if we do that, that's going to spill over on other people in a positive way in the long run. So I wanted to share that. And one other thing I wanted to ask, Paul, you always quote from Jim Rohn, and I have not purchased one of his books. And I wanted your suggestion on which one should I get, because a lot of the stuff that you share, I really want to use that when I'm doing some of my blogs and that sort of thing.
Yeah, awesome comments, Patrice, and kudos to you for your example as well. The number one audio I recommend from Jim Rohn to get started with is called The Art of Exceptional Living.
Okay.
And it is an audio. He does have some books, but I would recommend starting with that audio.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, and everybody have a great day.
Awesome. Thanks, Patrice. Star 6 is in. Come on out. Hey, Shirley Rocks, what's up? How's it going?
Good. Hey, imagination is a real big one for me because I'm an artist type, but I use it all the time. But with this call, I broke my arm off like almost 2 years ago, the day I heard this call for the first time. And I started studying this stuff, and with my imagination, I just kept envisioning what I really wanted to do now as a changed person, life-changing accident. And I wanted to get back into my leather work, and so I imagined everything I needed to do. You know, that's a whole other story, but just for right now, well, I'm using it not only in business, but just to make myself feel better. I do physical therapy like 3 hours twice a week, and it's very painful. And I sit there and I close my eyes, and I imagine I'm picking peaches and putting them in a basket when I'm lifting my arm up and down. When I'm on this wheel treadmill thing like a bicycle, I imagine that I'm kayaking out at Huntington Beach where I grew up down in the ocean, down by the ocean. And I imagine all the sights that I saw as a child down at the ocean. And I do that for like 10 minutes a day while I'm pedaling my bike. And I actually start to feel the breeze. I smell the salt water. You know, I can hear the gulls. You know, because I imagine a better place to be doing my exercise than at the physical therapist's office. Anyways, that's just kind of how I use it right now to help my life feel better, to get stronger. And then there's a whole other story for other days on how it applies to my business. But anyway, thanks.
I love it. Thank you, Shirley. That's so awesome. Appreciate that.
This is
Star 6 is next.
Hi, this is Fred
Simpson.
Hey, Pass, I think there was someone right ahead of you.
Let him go.
Thanks, brother.
Hi, this is Craig from Wisconsin, and this is the first time I've called it, or that I've come out in the call, so very happy to do this. I've been on the call a couple of weeks, and today's study really resonated with me in a couple of ways, but one thing I wanted to call out is my wife and I just took a vacation, first vacation we took taken in 14 years, so it was kind of a long time coming. And while we were on vacation down in Florida during spring break, I took probably close to, 2,000 photographs of things that just, you know, stuck out to me, whether it was the white sand or the blue water or whatever. And now I'm home in Wisconsin. I'm working my J-O-B, which I hope to be getting rid of here sometime soon. And I started kind of applying my imagination. And so what I've been doing basically is on my breaks and my lunch and stuff like that, creating posters, empowerment posters, using the photographs that I took with empowering quotes and that type of thing, and basically using that as kind of a focus for my day. And I started actually blogging about them on my Facebook. And this morning, actually, had a coworker comment about seeing my empowerment poster and how that touched her and that kind of thing. And so anyway, I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, just kind of reaching within and using a little imagination and you know, creating something that I can use on a daily basis to keep inspired. So anyway, just wanted to bring that forward, and thanks very much for the call, and love all that you do, Paul.
Craig, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Just great work. You're on an awesome path, my friend. Keep it up. Pat Simpson, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Paul, how are you today on this over the hump day?
I'm telling you, man. I don't know if everyone else feels this, but I just smile every time you talk. I got to stretch from ear to ear, man. I'm doing great.
As we sit back here and think about imagination, I did a video yesterday called Transformational Tuesday, and I sit back and I laugh because I am the product of many people's imagination. You know, when I was young, I did a lot of things wrong. I did a lot to try to throw my life away. But my mother had this vivid imagination.
Hey, Pass, let me clear the line for you real quick. Pass, just you, *6, come on out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, my mother, she had this vivid imagination of me being this great person, even though I was selling drugs and doing all kinds of crazy things trying to follow what society was doing around me. My mother just imagined me being this great person. So when I got in trouble the very first time and someone tried to convince her of my evil ways, she just imagined how good I can be, and she got me out of trouble. Later on in life, I was blessed to, you know, be in a place of my own where I was, you know, downtrodden and not knowing which way to go, and I prayed, and I found this call, and I got to jump into the imagination of Paul Hutchins, you know, and watching this call grow over the last 2.5 years. You know, I was blessed to be part of his imagination, so I imagined myself being able to spend some time with Paul and Mike Hobbs and, you know, some great people, and I got to do that. You know, later on, you know, Mr. Greg Reed became a mentor of mine, and I still had some limiting beliefs, and he would hang up every time I used the apostrophe T. So things like saying can't, won't, don't, he would hang up because he would tell me all the time, I am greater than the sum of my thoughts right now. So I was able to jump into his imagination until I can actually imagine myself being greater, you know. So sometimes it may not be your imagination that pushes you forward. It may be the imagination of someone else. And I say, just open your eyes. And sometimes you have to jump into the imagination of someone else for you to find a greater thought about yourself, till you find that greater being within you. And then you can imagine some great things and then allow others to jump into your imagination. Now everyone gets to jump into the imagination of a happiness engineer. I finished last night, you know, I got pushed back into the music industry. I've been imagining some great things, and I actually finished my first 2 songs last night. That first song I've written in over 15 years. It was because someone imagined me doing great things on a stage. So I just say, not only can you embrace your own great imagination, but embrace the great imagination of people around you and the great thoughts that they have for you, because those things can just push you so much further and allow you to smile so much bigger. I know you can feel that smile now. But I love you. I love you guys. And I just say, imagine and sit and stay around people who imagine big things for you. Love you.
Awesome. Love you, Pass. Appreciate those thoughts, man. *6 is next. We've got about 2 minutes left. Come on out.
It's Jesse from New York.
Hey, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning. I loved your story this morning with John and all about integrity. And it triggered me to remember a book that is called Integrity is Everything by John Lavinia. It's an excellent book for beginners who are just starting out in personal development, but it's just as wonderful for seasoned personal development people, because it really simplifies the whole process, the whole concept of all of what and who we are and how we can just become much, much more improved. And it's just an excellent book, and it triggered me because I was speaking with someone who's really struggling, and I know what they need to do. It's just that when they're ready, they'll get around to doing it. And I was trying to think of something I could offer him as far as a book or something to that effect, and this is what came out of this morning's call, and it also, I thought, would be something good to share with all of you when a few were asking about certain books. This is an excellent book. Integrity is everything, and it is truly that, and I just needed to come out and share that with you all. Thank you.
Awesome. Appreciate that, and I agree with that. I think it is really important, and, you know, it also falls in line with Law of Success number 15, which is follow the golden rule, right? Treat others as you would have them treat you. Do we want other people to lie to us? Do we want other people to steal from us? Do we want other people to cheat us? Obviously, the answer is no, right? So we want to send that out into the universe. So, guys, listen, I love you. I appreciate you. I believe in you. I'm glad you're on the call today. Let's get out there, make it an awesome day. Take action. Believe in your better future because it is possible. And we will see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Goodbye for now.
Woo! All right.
Thank you.